Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I'm excited, like I said, as how things stand right now, coming into camp. KB's on the roster. I expect him to be there. I think the fans should expect him to be there. It's an exciting time to be a Cubs manager because there's a lot of talent and there's no ceiling for this team. I really think this team can win the World Series, so that's the way I'm looking at things.
Well, there you have it. He used the term World Series. He thinks this team can win the World Series. Differently, we hope, than the way the last two World Series were apparently won. But
hopefully.
Let's find out more here as the Cubs convention convenes. There's going to be 14 hours of live score programming coming from the Cubs convention. Let's talk now with the Cubs general manager, Jed Hoyer, on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Jed, how are you?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Hanging in.
These are, to say, interesting times would be putting it mildly for Major League Baseball right now as this is going on. We'll start from the beginning here. When the news broke about the Astros and then propagated into the organizations in Boston and New York, what is going on internally with the Cubs as far as your examination of, like, an internal audit, making sure that the Cubs procedures are up to snuff and on the level?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And, I'm 100% confident that, nothing went on here. We've talked to all our people. And, I think that this is something that, in the game, I think there's been discussion of these things happening with different teams. And this wasn't, it wasn't a secret in the industry. It wasn't as though no one had ever imagined these things were happening before, Mike Fiers made his comments. And so I think this is something that we've, been previously auditing and making sure that we're on the level. And like I said, it's a good feeling to know that we were on the level. Like, there's plenty of anxiety in this job with putting a roster together, but it's nice to not have that as one of the things I have to worry about.
When the precedent was set by Rob Manfred, it certainly sends a message, and I'm wondering if baseball is going to come up with the equivalent of, say, Sarbanes-Oxley legislation in the wake of the multiple corporate fraud scandals, and coincidentally enough, Enron, the field, the name of the field where the Astros played. And what that legislation said was, you can't claim we didn't know it was going on. The highest ranking officials would be punished if it's discovered, to create an internal culture where it's incentivized for the executives to say in their organization, this does not happen, this cannot happen, you must tell us, mandatory reporting if you think it might be happening. Is that anything that that you would do? Would you go that far in the organization to make sure that it can't happen?
Well, I think they already sort of have that right now. I mean, we have to sign a document at the end of the year, we have to sign a document, the GM and the field manager, that nothing untoward happened as far as sign stealing. And I don't know if this last year was the first year we had to do that or if it happened in 18, I can't quite remember, but they've already sort of done that. And I think that when you saw, Jeff Luhnow let go and AJ let go, I mean, they said in the document that this was a player led thing. And yet, the person responsible for, the overall baseball operation and the person responsible for the dugout were both removed. And so I think in some ways they've already done that. And, I think it will be effective. I mean, you look around baseball and, 10% of the managers are gone in a 3-day span. I think that has a way of shocking the system. And I certainly think the message has been heard loud and clear.
Jed, whether it was just before the Athletic report or just after or even a while before, people had heard whispers about sign stealing through technological means. I mean, it goes on way back in baseball. I just wonder how long you guys have felt you needed to be vigilant for these kind of things, regardless of what team you're playing, but the Astros name had been out there for a little while.
Yeah, you know, I would say that, you know, for years and years, you know, there were teams that you knew were good at stealing signs when they were second base, but that's part of the game. And, you know, if you can decode the catcher signs, if the pitcher and catcher aren't doing a good job switching things up, and you have a runner at second base that can do it, I mean, that's the game. And that's something that we've known about for a long time. It really feels like in 2017 was sort of that turning point where there were sort of whispers that it was going beyond just the guy at second base. And that, so it really feels like for the last 2 or 3 years, this has been something that's been talked about a lot. And in some ways, you know, I look at this and think, you know, we brought a lot of technology closer, you know, to the dugout. You know, we brought the replay rooms, you know, down there. Cameras are better. You know, so many people are using high-speed cameras. So I just think in some ways, this was probably, I don't want to say an inevitability, but it feels like with all of the technology and all of the cameras and all the things that were getting closer to the dugout, you know, something was probably bound to happen. And I think that, you know, this last week and the way things have gone, I think there's almost definitely going to be a rollback, and there's going to be changes in how, you know, what players can do during games. And I don't know how that's going to look, but there's no question that things are going to change with how this happens, because there is a danger of having that much technology, you know, close to the field. And I think we're seeing that this week, and I think that's going to change.
We just heard David Ross say he thinks this team can win the World Series. And it's an odd time to have the Cubs convention, it seems, because there's a transitional feeling this year. It's been 4 years since the World Series championship. There have been some disappointments. There have been some grim Theo Epstein postseason press conferences. And I guess the question is, where are we? Is this now about this year's team winning the World Series? What are fair expectations? And does it feel as transitional to you internally as it does to us from the outside looking in?
Yeah, well, first of all, I thought his comments were great. You know, I remember, you know, being at the Cubby Bear and Joe saying he thought, you know, the 2015 team could make the playoffs, and everyone sort of laughed and rolled their eyes because they thought there's no way that team could make the playoffs. And, you know, obviously, you know, I loved the fact that Joe, you know, believed in that group even sort of before they believed in themselves. And so I thought Rossi's comments were great. I think that there's no question that the way that 2018 ended, despite winning 95 games, it was a bad ending. And then obviously last year, you know, the whole year had a kind of a frustrating feel to it. We weren't playing up to expectations, and obviously we fell apart at the end of the season. And so I feel like everyone sort of has a bad taste in their mouth. But I like the fact that David is sort of reminding the team and the fans, I think this team has a ton of talent. And I think that, that's his, sort of his point in saying that. You know, as far as transition, you know, I do think that, you know, I agree with, you know, with Tom Ricketts. I think that we should be past, you know, the idea of having cycles, you know, big down cycles and big up cycles. But I think that within that, there are times when, you know, we have a ton of young talent on the roster that are young and pre-arbitration, and you're going to do everything you can to sort of push all in to win when you have that. And we did that. And you know, that led us to three straight NLCSs and a World Series. And you can't continue to do that forever. You know, you're going to have, you know, moments in your life cycle when you're really aggressive because you have that young talent, and you're going to have moments in that life cycle where, you know, you're looking to, you know, to get younger, and you're sort of keeping one eye on the present and one eye on the future. And so we have been, you know, incredibly aggressive with our prospects, with our money, you know, for about 5 years. And there is a point in that life cycle where I think we have to, you know, we're not going to put both eyes on the future, you know, but I do think we have to think about that, because we do have a lot of players that we only control for 2 more years.
To that end, Jed, Anthony Rizzo yesterday, talking to reporters, we played some of the comments earlier on the show, you know, mentioned that there is he has seen and heard that the conversations about trading Chris Bryant are out there in reports and in rumors and whatnot, as many things are at this time of year. I know you guys understand that fans are going to have questions about where the team goes. Does a next level of I don't know, concern might not be the right word, but level of understanding or perhaps even concern hit you guys when you have somebody like Anthony Rizzo talking down to the idea of moving a guy like Bryant?
No. I saw his comments, and I think they're totally fine, and I totally get his perspective. I guess, you know, we had this young group, you know, that came through the farm system that came up at the same time. And, you know, I think that, you know, we offered all those guys, you know, extensions. I mean, we tried hard, you know, to really keep this group together for as long as we can. And I think there are certain realities where, you know, we are not going to be able to keep this group together forever. Whether we, you know, it may be by them leaving through free agency. It may be by us trading some of them. You know, I think we might be able to extend some of them, but I think, in all honesty, we passed the point of being able to extend all of those players. I think we had a moment in time where that might have been possible, and then we passed that. And so the reality is that, you know, we've kept this group together for a long time, you know, by baseball standards, and we hope to continue to be able to keep it together. But when you look at it, you know, a lot of these guys hit free agency after 2021, and, you know, we have to think about not only this year's team, but we have to think about how we're going to, you know, field a really competitive team beyond that group's free agency after 21.
Is it possible that Chris Bryant can be signed to a multi-year contract extension as a Cub?
I mean, yeah, I mean, I can't comment on that. I think, have we attempted? Absolutely. And I think that, you know, we try not to comment on our discussions with players, and we try to keep those things quiet. So I'll respect that. But, you know, it's no secret that we've engaged in those discussions. So I guess by definition, the fact that we've engaged in those discussions is possible, but, you know, I also, you know, we at this point, we obviously haven't reached a deal. And, you know, I guess beyond that, I wouldn't comment, but, you know, certainly it is something we've attempted in the past.
Jed, I feel like the arbitration case with Chris Bryant has gone on forever. I know a lot of Cubs fans who do. Do you guys feel that way with how long this has dragged out?
You talking about the grievance?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, the arbiter has a job to do, and you know, it's not certainly not my place to comment on how long it takes. You know, I think that a lot of the stuff, you know, went on over the course of the fall. I think there was probably, you know, a lot of documents and a lot more interviews that had to happen. So I can't really, you know, I know he's going to do the best job he can, and he wants to make, you know, the right ruling. And so I think he's going to take that time. You know, certainly it's, I mean, it's been something that's been in the news, and we don't have any sort of timeline. And so I think when you don't know exactly when something's going to end, there's that uncertainty. But like I said, I think he's, you know, I'm sure that guy's doing the best job he possibly can to get all the information. And you know, when he comes to his conclusion, I guess we'll all know.
Yeah, I'm sure he is too, and I'm sure he has all the information with as long as it's taken. At least that's kind of how I feel about it. I imagine, though, since there's uncertainty there, a lot of times you make, like, I don't know, like flow charts. Here's what happens if this happens. Here's what happens if that happens. I mean, are you guys, with as little as you have done so far in this offseason, people kind of expect the Chris Bryant decision to be a spark for whatever happens afterward. Is that a fair... Is that a fair assessment of where this offseason could be headed for you guys?
I guess I wouldn't comment, you know, specifically on that. I guess I would say in general, you know, I think usually at this time of year, you're sort of wrapping up your offseason. And I think that, you know, for us, I think not that we haven't, you know, been doing a lot of different things behind the scenes, but as far as the kind of moves that fans notice or get excited about, you know, I think we've been quiet on that front. And I guess I would just say that I feel like, you know, our off season isn't just, you know, ending right now like it usually would be. It's sort of like kind of just beginning. And I think that we, you know, certainly will be active, you know, leading up to the season. And, yes, I think it's fair to say this off season for us has been sort of, you know, pushed back a little bit. And, we're sort of just getting started on some of the things we want to do.
Back to the uncertainty point, you and Theo had both talked about wanting to know which baseball is going to be used this year, whether it's the regular season slippery ball or the playoff ball that didn't fly quite as far. baseball sort of tried to mealy-mouth their little study and say, well, you know, it's just it's natural variance, and we're not quite sure what's going on. Is there? Have you gotten any more clarity about that? And with that, how has the recent cheating scandal affected your pro personnel evaluation of how good some of these other players around the league are?
I think on both counts, I think they're both great questions, and I think that on both counts, I don't want to give a bad answer, but it's kind of like, we'll see. I don't have a great answer for that. I think we were all, you know, totally surprised by the ball last year and the way it behaved. And certainly, it makes some of last year's numbers somewhat difficult to evaluate. And I think that, having next year's data will be really instructive, you know, and if the ball behaves exactly the same, it's one thing, but if it behaves a little bit differently, you know, some of those home run numbers, and some of the, but I mean, on both sides, pitching stats and hitting stats, I think will really be impacted. So I don't have a great answer for that. And then as far as the cheating scandal, yeah, I think that's a real question. And I think in a lot of ways, you know, this is what we dealt with, you know, through, you know, the 90s and the yep. 2000s as far as the steroid era, you know, that those were the kind of questions that we always asked. And it was really a nice thing to kind of get away from that for a while. I feel like those comments really never happen anymore. No one really questions a breakout year anymore, you know, in the same way they used to whenever someone would break out unexpectedly at age 28. So I don't know if those things are going to, it's not going to be quite as rampant as that with those discussions, but I think there's probably some players that people are going to pay extra attention to their performance, you know, in light of the, you know, what's transpired this week.
I wonder, Jed, what kind of things, if you can give us a little bit of a look behind the curtain, what kind of things are you guys working with David Ross on this offseason so that you can essentially onboard a first-time manager for this specific team? What have been some of the homework assignments?
Yeah, well, one of the things that's been really wonderful and something we expected, but it's been nice to see since he got the job, is he's been coming up here a lot. And a lot of the days he's up here, I'll just say hi to him on the way in. I'll say hi to him on the way out, but he'll spend all the time in the office with the R&D team, you know, going over, you know, different strategy things, whether it's in-game strategy, whether it's lineup construction, whether it's bullpen usage. And I think it's really wonderful that that he's so open, you know, to all their information. And really, I think it says a lot about this, the way the game is changing, that, you know, R&D teams are becoming so much more embedded with major league staffs. They're not looked at anymore as outsiders. You know, I think that the fact that those guys didn't play in the big leagues isn't held against them anymore. And I think the fact that David just thinks those guys are really bright and kind of looks at them as teammates is great. So that's really how he spent most of his days. And I think that's fantastic. And then I know he spent a lot of time with Andy Green this winter. I think his reputation is fantastic as a game manager, as a preparer. And I think Andy's really helped him, been helping him with some of the first year transition issues and things that, you know, he just dealt with 4 years ago. And so I think that's going to be a really nice pairing. And I think that's it's nice to have that sort of counsel on your staff. So he's been really working. And I think that, I think he knows the relationship part of the job, on the motivating side and also on the, sort of encouraging side, you know, discipline side. I think David knows, okay, that's my personality. I've got that. But I think he's very aware of the challenges of being a first-year manager and the game moving quickly. And I think he's doing everything he can to get ahead of that.
Jed, last question I have for you. You mentioned bullpen usage. It would be easy to say that Craig Kimbrell's struggles last year were due entirely to the strange timing of when his season started, of being out of routine and out of sort of muscle memory. It also might not be true, that we might just be inferring causality that's not there. Have you done any sort of forensic work to determine why he was bad and to make sure that he's good this year?
Yeah, I think that's a totally fair question. You know, I think that, you know, with any player, if they have a bad year, then in their 30s, that, you know, you ask that question, was this a blip or was this a trend? And I think you always ask that. And you know, I thought there was periods of the year last year when he was healthy, where it looked like he was kind of getting on track. And then there was periods when he was banged up where he obviously was ineffective, and especially, you know, his fastball and his home run rate. And I think in general, I think, you know, I think that there's the area of our team that has the most volatility, like without question, is our bullpen. And I think that's something we're focused on. I think we want to bring in, you know, arms that we think have high upside potential. But I think we're also aware that, you know, there's times when you have a lot of, you know, like stable veteran relievers, which is somewhat of an oxymoron. It's hard to find those guys, you know. But we had some guys like that for a while and felt like we had a little bit more stability back there. I think now, I think we have a ton of talent back there, but like I said, it's an area that has a little bit more volatility. And I think we've seen that work in the past. We've put together some good bullpens in the past that, you know, you kind of weren't expected to be great bullpens going into the season. So that's our goal. We're going to continue to you know, sign pitchers and try to add good arms, but I think we're going to be aware that even going into the season, that probably will be the area of our team that has the most volatility.
Jed, thanks a lot. Thanks, we really appreciate your time.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.